In the United States, it's very serious. When you deal with financial situations, it's not a game. You know, things can be audited. Of course, here in Nigeria, I'm assuming it's the same thing. And so tonight, the goal is to really be able, Good Hope and I are going to be working back and forth here to kind of explain the finances to you. And at the end, we'll have a Q&A, question and answer. If you have any questions, we will answer your questions. And of course, I'll also be talking about the vision for the church as well.
Amen.
Again, just a reminder, Good Hope is the administrator, Tina is the secretary, and of course, I'm the evangelist.
Come on, evangelist.
So, tonight we're going to talk about what the Bible says about finances.
Okay.
Because in order to do great things for God, we have to be willing to invest. We have to be willing to invest in God's kingdom. Amen? Is that Matthew from Abuja? Hey! Welcome, Matthew, who's come all the way from Abuja to get restored. Amen. Welcome, bro. Sorry, I missed your text earlier. It was great to see you. So we're going to review over the historical and financial overview, four quarters rather, and we're going to have a breakdown of the allocated funds and spend down. We're going to talk about the goals and vision for the Lagos Church, and of course have questions as well. So let's talk about sacrificial giving, because one of the things I noticed here since coming to Lagos is that people still have an incorrect view of what contribution is all about. Take a look here. First scripture we're going to look at here is in the book of Leviticus. Let's turn over there. And this is our Bible study. We are a church. Even though we're having a presentation, we're going to get in the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
And so, what does the Bible say here? Well, most people know about this concept of a tithe. But of course, this is an Old Testament precedent. Amen? So, in Leviticus 27, verse 30, the Bible reads this. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. See, back then, guys, it was serious. The tithe, the Israelites were commanded to give a tithe, a tenth, of all their income to the Lord. And the sacrifices were to be the best. I mean, we understand that Abel gave a better sacrifice by faith than Cain. Amen? What's interesting, of course, we know that we're not in the Old Testament anymore. We're in the New Testament.
Yeah.
So it's not about just giving a tenth anymore.
Yeah.
The call is to sacrifice.
Yes.
If you take a look here with the widow in Mark 12, 41 to 44, you should know the scripture, right? Acts chapter 4, verse 36. The Macedonians, 2 Corinthians 8, 1 to 3. You see examples of sacrifice. And I think this is important because for us, as we think about our giving, we give on a weekly basis. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, I know here many jobs give their pay monthly. Yes?
Yes.
But we give weekly. Well, why do we do that? Well, take a look here. I want you to see the scripture. Take a look with me over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. This is important because this refers to not just weekly contribution, but of course missions as well. And sometimes people say, well, can I just give my contribution at the beginning of the month and be done? Are you with me here? You could, but here's the problem. We need to give something every week because there are bills coming out every week. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
The other aspect of all this is because the Bible says so. Let's take a look and see why. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, what does the Bible say? 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I'm giving you more than just what the slide says. It's kind of like class. You know, when a professor is teaching, he doesn't just give you what is on the slide. Otherwise, if he hands out the slides, then, you know, people who stay at home, you might as well just have stayed at home. Are you with me here?
Right.
So,
give
you the good stuff if you attend. Amen?
Me, bro.
1 Corinthians 16, look at what the Bible says here. It says, now about the collection for God's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income.
All right.
Saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made.
Amen.
So what do you see there? It's very straightforward. Every week we save up. Because here's the thing too. While I was in Washington, D.C., I was speaking to one of the brothers there. And he was sharing for contribution. He's like, you know, guys, why should I do a contribution sharing if you've already given what you need to give? According to your viewpoint of a tenth. Why should I even give contribution? If you know the Bible says to give a tenth from the Old Testament standard, why am I actually giving you a contribution talk? Because I'm calling you to sacrifice. And so, if you just give the tenth, say, hey, here you go, then you're not really being called to sacrifice, are you? No, you're not. You're not being called to give more. I have literally prepared to give money for contribution, and because of that contribution talk, I gave more. Are you with me here?
Yes.
That's got to be the heart we have, guys. Let's keep looking here. True sacrifice costs something. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. 2 Samuel 24, you know the scripture where King David goes and says, you know, the guy says, oh yeah, take my field. Right? He said, no. I'm not going to take something from me that costs me nothing. Right. If I'm going to buy this field for the Lord, I'm going to pay for it. Amen?
Yeah.
And I think in the same way, we've got to ask ourselves, do we give sacrificially? One of the key things we need to address, too, is Matthew 23, and then we're going to move on. Some people say, well, then what is the correlation between a tithe and sacrifice? Well, the tithe is the baseline. It should be a baseline for you. Because right. In the Bible talks about tithes and?
Offering.
So the tithe is the baseline. That is where you should start. After that, now, is really your offering. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
But if you just give a tithe, then you're just giving. It's like, oh, here's the, you know, basic stuff. I'm not going above and beyond in my faith. Here it is. That's not sacrifice. Yeah. Are you with me here?
Yes.
Now, the widow that had the 2 copper coins, let me tell you, that was sacrifice.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's all she had to live on.
That's right.
Did God say, no, don't give you 2 copper coins? Did he stop her?
No.
He did not. And so, it's important. One of the things that some people wonder, is the tithe mentioned in the New Testament? Is it?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes. Well.
Is it? Turn over to Matthew 23.
All right.
Jesus refers to the tithe,
right.
But we're not unnecessarily under the Old Testament covenant to follow it, amen? In the same way, that's why it's a guideline for us. So like when you're making your pledges, right? As you're thinking about your pledge, you're going to think, the tenth is the tithe is a guideline for me, but I want to make sure I sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Because for people who have considerable amount of funds, a tithe is nothing. Here you go. There's no skin off their back. While other people, to do a tithe because they're financially challenging, this is rough. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying here? Mm-hmm. And so it really needs to be according to our faith. Take a look at what the Bible says here in Matthew 23. I just want to make sure we have deep convictions about this.
Amen.
In Matthew 23, Jesus is talking to the crowds and his disciples about the Pharisees. And he says here in verse 23, is everyone there? Matthew 23:23.
Yes.
It says here, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Uh-oh, this doesn't start well.
Wow.
You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin. Well, weren't they supposed to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so why are they hypocrites? Let's keep reading. But you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Now, check this out. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. Oh, what's the former? The tithe. Whoa, do you see it now?
That's right.
So, what is Jesus saying here? He's saying that there is a guideline in regards to giving a tithe. But, of course, we should obviously have the heart to sacrifice more than that as well. You with me here? Just important to understand these things. Next. Obviously, giving, we need to give by faith. We shouldn't be giving out of compulsion, but it does take faith to give. Of course, God's promises, we don't have enough room for God's blessings, right? God always gives back 100 times as much to us. But I want us to take a look at Malachi real quick here, because we do need to have conviction from the scriptures that God will bless us according to our righteousness. Amen?
Amen.
What does the Bible say here? In Malachi chapter 3, I remember one time seeing a picture according to this passage. I'll explain to you what I mean in just a second. It says in verse 8, will a man rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings, you're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Wow. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. Now, isn't it interesting?
Yep.
Are we supposed to test God?
No.
No? But God says, you know what? When it comes to money, I want you to test me.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Isn't that awesome? When it comes to money, God says, hey, I want you to test me and watch what I can do. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Do we believe that, family?
Yes.
Then we need to act like it. Amen?
Amen.
I remember one time seeing a picture in a church where literally they put up on the wall when they go to church all the people that missed contribution that week.
Yeah.
It was on the wall for everyone to see. And they said, these are the robbers.
Yeah.
In the church. And listed all their names. Now, that's pretty embarrassing, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
But sadly, that's how some people, that's why, honestly, people, if they don't have that, maybe they may not be motivated. Because they're motivated out of pride of what people think, rather than motivated out of faith. Amen?
Amen.
And of course, we need to depend on God, because it's only all our resources and our comes from God anyway. So, we need to give sacrificially. We need to give with faith. And of course, we need to give with joy. You know, every time we do contribution, I appreciate Tony, we always have like an encouraging song. Like, thank you, Lord, or another joyful song. We're not in mourning when we're giving. Amen?
No.
You should be, thus saith the Lord, give your tithe. No, that's not the way it is. It shouldn't be like that. It should be encouraging. Like, man, I get to give back to God.
Amen.
Man, if I had to pay for every sin I committed this week, what would my contribution be? That argument right there is just, okay, man, what a gift. Why should God even bless me for giving? Do I deserve the blessing?
No.
Right? But what does the Bible say here? 2 Corinthians 9. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Right? Mm-hmm. For God loves what? A cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. It really is a privilege, guys, to give. If you look at the scriptures in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, think about what the Bible says here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, starting in verse 1, we'll read 1 to 4. It says, and now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing
joy
and their extreme poverty. Whoa, hold on a second. How does that make any sense? Wouldn't you say that's an oxymoron?
Yes.
It says, out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy. When do you have joy in a most severe trial?
When you're real spiritual.
Right? And it says, their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. How does that happen?
I don't know.
How does that happen?
They were spiritual.
You know, it's funny though. I talk to people about contribution. I'm like, bro. You know, occasionally I'll talk to a brother. I'm like, bro, how's it going? You know, with your life, finances, all that stuff. And I'm like, well, you know, bro, I noticed you haven't been giving contribution. But yet, bro, you seem like you're doing well for yourself. I mean, putting on a couple pounds, bro. You seem like you're eating pretty well. Got some nice shoes there, bro. You've been going on dates every week. It's awesome. Where's that money coming from, bro? Are you spending more on your date than you're putting in the plates? Where's that coming from, bro? Honestly. And so we got to have a deep conviction. It goes on here. Verse 3. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own. So it wasn't like, oh, the pastor had to convince me. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the what? Privilege of sharing in the service to the saints. Do you consider our contribution, not only to God, but even when we give our missions contribution, like the opportunity we had to give that benevolence to our dear brother Nick Wynn. Remember that? And you saw the video right there with his mom, and now his mom's doing better, amen, be praying for her. But it's powerful to see. Wow, do you consider that a privilege?
Yeah.
That's the way it should be for us now. Amen? Another key aspect of this, as we close, and we're going to get to all the fun numbers in just a second. We talked about our giving needs to be with sacrifice. It needs to be with what? Faith. And it needs to be with
joy.
Amen? But here's another aspect about what the Bible says in regards to sacrificial living. Now, this is something that's not really taught in Nigeria. It's not talk. They won't say sacrificial. They'll say prosperity living.
That's right.
Let me tell you how to show. You need to reflect your class. If you are a certain class, You need to reflect your class so that everyone else knows it.
Yes.
Now, there's obviously, you're going to give your best on the job. You know, you want to dress professionally. It shows that you take care of yourself. It shows that, you know, you have expertise. And it shows you're well kept. Amen. I'm not saying you just, you know, go around and dress however you want, like you just came out of bed. But I think sacrifice is key, because very often, I love that scripture in Proverbs, you know, one pretends to be rich but really is poor.
Yes.
The other pretends to be poor but really is rich.
Yes.
We have a lot of people that pretend to be rich here.
Awesome.
But they're not really rich. And there's some people that pretend to be poor. Well, there's not a lot of people that pretend to be poor. There is? No. I don't really see a lot of people pretending to be poor here. But let's talk about the sacrificial living real quick. Jesus' example is powerful. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, the Bible talks about this. It says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. The Bible reads, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became
poor,
so that you through his poverty might become rich." Now, people use the scripture and twist it.
Yes.
Don't they?
Yes.
Because, Jesus came poor so I can become rich.
Yes.
You think he's talking about physical riches here?
No, that's
not quite it. But pastors will preach this bad boy all day long. Like, Jesus came to make me rich. That's what's being taught. It is shocking. And, you know, I always like that. Well, the movie, some things are a little suspect. But, you know, Coming to America, that movie.
Yes.
You know, when he leaves, you know, and he comes to, you know, he's like trying to act like. It's really interesting. I mean, that's like Jesus, like, came to the earth and literally became an ovum in a teenage girl's body and became a carpenter. Of all things, how do you go from creator to carpenter? From creator to carpenter. He truly gave up heaven himself. He became poor so the world could be saved. And as a result, we got to ask ourselves, are we really living sacrificially? Or are we giving into the world's culture of reflecting your class? Because, do you really need to have a 2017 car?
Come on!
Do you really need to have the state-of-the-art things? I don't. My car is a 2004.
Come on, bro.
And I'm happy with it. And I'm taking care of it. Why? Because I don't need that. I really don't. I would rather give more for contribution than spend in my car.
Come on.
It's just that simple. I have the same clothes that I had. The only time I go back, when I go back, I might get a shirt or extra pair of jeans when I go back. This shirt is the same shirt I had back in the U.S.
Come on.
Same shirt. I just take care of my things. You with me? If you don't take care of your things, then you got a problem. Amen?
Awesome shirt, bro.
But I think that the heart of it is that we got to have the heart. Like, are we really sacrificial in our living too? Next. Why do we live sacrificially? Well, that's the important thing, right? So that we can meet the physical needs of others. This is huge, guys. Let's take a look here at some of these scriptures here, and then we're going to jump on in. I want to make sure we have a biblical understanding before we get into the scriptures. Amen? The Bible says here in Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 34, it says, "There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them." Would you say that's sacrificial living?
Yes.
If you have land or you have 34 to 37, that's a different. 34 to 37. It's like if you have land and a house, can you imagine saying, you know what, I don't need this land or house. I could go build some stuff, but you know what, I'd rather sell that and give it to the church.
That's awesome.
Is that awesome right there?
Yeah.
Right? From time to time, those who own land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, put it at the apostles' feet. Did they say, hey, now listen, I'm giving you my money, so you better do this, 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 this.
Wow.
No. Is that what it says?
No.
No, it says, bro, I've sold my land, I've sold my house? I trust you, my brother. Please, whatever you need.
That's awesome. Amen.
Amen.
Uh-huh. Why you guys got so quiet all this? Right? See, guys, we got it. It's the need for sacrificial. Why do we live sacrificially? To meet the physical needs of others. Right? I mean, if the first century church didn't do that, remember, all these God-fearing Jews from all these different places came together, right?
Yeah.
And they didn't go back home.
Yes.
Yeah. Support.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
It's like coming to the GLC conference and saying, all right, guys, the Pentecost has come. No one's going back home. We're going to stay here.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? Right? And so the first century Christians sacrificed, there'll be no needy people among them. Here's another reason: to support the full-time workers so that the world could be evangelized.
Amen.
Guys, this is huge. This is huge here. Because I think in a lot of ways, people kind of swing the pendulum from one area to the next. Philippians 4:10, Paul here says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you've renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. You know, people were concerned. Well, they wanted to make sure he was taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thank God for the U.S. churches. We go back to Washington, D.C. We go back and they're like, bro, what do you need?
Mm-hmm.
Bro, sis, what do you need?
Mm-hmm.
For example, Tina went back. Tina went back to the U.S., went to Chicago. A sister came up to her and said, hey, what do you need? What do you need? Right? Now, I literally have a bag here full of deodorant.
Wow. Come on, deodorant!
Full of deodorant. And for the brothers, I got some pants here.
Amen!
Yes.
Now, in case you're wondering, it's not the beast pant that I learned here in Nigeria. This is not called pants. These are trousers. I learned that very quickly. So, but I have pants here for the brothers too. So brothers,
come on.
You need some pants? Hey, brand new, ready here for you.
Yeah.
But you see, that's the heart.
Amen.
That's the heart of the disciples. Come on, that's the heart. And these guys are living sacrificially, because let me tell you something. You may think that a disciple in the U.S. is like, oh yeah, man, I'm balling. Oh no, there are ghettos in the U.S. I know this is shocking. I know people think the U.S. is like the land of milk and honey. But actually, people are dying and are in poverty in the U.S.
Yeah.
It would shock you.
Yeah.
And so, and the disciples there, they're actually sacrificing so that they can give more money for missions contribution.
Yeah. Come on, disciples.
Think about that, guys, when you don't give your contribution.
Mm.
Does that honor them?
No, not at all.
On, we don't want to be leeches.
No.
Yeah, that's true.
The Bible also goes on and says there's always a purpose in the Bible for living sacrificially.
Yeah.
It was never sacrifice for the sake of sacrifice alone. I'm not just saying sacrifice. No, there's a reason.
Yeah.
So that more people can get into the full-time ministry. Amen?
Amen.
And because, you know, one day I will not be here. And one day a Nigerian, God willing, will be leading this church.
Amen.
And my goal is to raise up a Nigerian to lead this church. I believe that I am a church planter. That is the role God has given me. I'm here to build the foundation. And I'm here to build the church as far as it can go. But I know a Nigerian will take it even further. The goal here, though, is that Nigerian needs to be supported by this church.
Yes.
Because right now, when you plant a church, you guys cannot afford my salary.
Yep.
Right? So the issue here is that I want to make sure that the guy coming in after me will be supported by the church.
Amen.
Let me explain to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9.
Come on, bro. Awesome.
Let's see what the Bible says here.
Come on.
We need to be sacrificial, guys, because here's the thing. We don't invest in the buildings. We can go and spend 40 million naira and go buy a building that we're going to grow out of.
Yeah.
What's the point of that?
Doesn't make sense. Come on,
bro. Now, God willing, maybe we'll get there. Maybe we'll get a compound. I don't know. I'm open. But again, it's gonna be it's an investment on your place, on your part. You know, we can gamble with our money a lot of the times. We don't gamble when we give to God.
Yeah.
Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It says here, verse 3. Everyone there? 1 Corinthians 9, verse 3.
Yep.
Yes. This is my defense to those who sit in judgment on me. Don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas, as in Peter? I don't know how the Catholics forget that part. Mm-hmm. Or is it only I and Barnabas who must work for a living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk? Do I say this merely from a human point of view? Doesn't the law say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it's treading out the grain. Is it about oxen that God is concerned? Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Right? Yes, this is written for us, because when the plowman plows and the thresher threshes, they ought to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much we reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? What's the answer to those questions?
Yes.
The answer is yes. And so, guys, I'm praying because, remember, this church is going to be a pillar church.
Yep.
It's going to be a pillar church for all of West Africa. I believe that from this church, we will plant many other churches in West Africa.
Yeah.
You know why? Because Nigeria has money.
Yeah.
Okay. You know how come I know that? Because I keep meeting people that have chauffeurs. When I first got into Nigeria, I'm like, wow, I have never met so many people that have chauffeurs. I went boxing this morning, working out, right? The guy I was working out with, got a chance to meet him, works for some oil company, whatever. We're set up to study the Bible tomorrow.
Wow.
It's interesting because I go outside, the guy, you see, and he's like 21 years old.
Wow.
We come down the stairs, immediately. Okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir. What do you need, sir? Come, sir. Follow me, sir. Older guy than him, at least 20 years older than him.
Yeah.
Black suit, black tie, white shirt. In the car, he comes, big SUV, top of the line, 2017. You got driver here, security guard here, another guy here. All right, see you tomorrow. Hey, bro, see you soon.
Okay.
I go to my car. I'm cool, I'm down. My 2000, sir, as long as it starts up, we're good. But I'm like, people got money here. People have money here.
Yes.
You go to the U.S.? Drivers. Only the really rich have drivers in the U.S. Everybody, ask him. Everyone else is like, drive my own car. I ain't lazy. Why should I spend my money to go pay some dude? Housemates, people who are called, what are servants, what do they call them? What? I wash my own dishes. Why should I spend my money to go pay someone to wash my dishes?
Hey.
So what does the Bible say here? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you can't do that. And actually, here it's a lot cheaper because they don't value labor here.
Yeah.
In the U.S., there are labor laws.
Yeah. That's true.
If they had the same labor laws here as they did there, hey. Oh, my goodness gracious. Amen. That will come another time. But what does the Bible say? Verse 14. What does it say here? Read verse 13. Don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share what is offered at the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. Verse 15. But I have not used any of these rights. And neither have I.
Come on, bro.
I don't take one dime in contribution from this church. I'm paid from the mission staff. Every contribution, every naira that comes in here goes to what?
Yeah.
Goes to here. There might be a little reimbursement once in a while, whatever, but my side's not paid from here.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean it shouldn't be.
Right.
Because the next person who needs to step up in here, the next Nigerian, the next all, as the church continues to grow, guess what? The church is going to need to what? Support.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for that, family?
Come on.
Now, let's keep looking. So now we're going to get into a historical and financial overview. Now comes the fun part.
Come on, fun part.
We're going to review over the last year. And my dear brother Good Hope is going to be reviewing over the financial part, and I'm going to be reviewing over the historical part. Let's go.
Come on.
Historical overview. First 3 months of the year, 6 miracle baptisms.
Come on, miracle.
Bernard holding hands. Faith. Hey. First 3 months of the year, man. I remember coming back into town. having those final studies with Tony and Olatunde there, baptizing him. Carl, Paul, and Bernice, and Dave Glass-Membership from Abuja. First principles course began in March, amen. Finally, we come back, of course, at the Visa Challenges on March 15th. Average weekly attendance was 76. Low. Low. And remember, we weren't here for the first 3 months of the year.
Yeah.
That was pretty, 2.5. That's pretty intense right there, guys. Right? But yet, because God's church is built on a strong foundation, guess what? It still moves forward. Are you with me here? And this time I have my dear brother Goodhope come and explain the financial part. Come on up, bro.
Okay, let's go. Good evening, church. I will need the mic so I can be flexible.
Amen.
Now, this is January to March. Now, as a church, we need money. We need money. Yeah, because if we don't have money, we can't stay in this place.
Yeah.
Okay? Right. This is the financial overview of the church. Let's go to the graph, please.
We're gonna get to the graph in just a second.
All right. Now, the total benevolence that we receive as support
these 3 months
from the church here is about
414,452. Amen.
That is the average that we receive.
Mm.
And
that's a lot. Would you say?
No.
Is that a lot?
No.
Is that a little?
Yes. All right.
We're doing good for those 3 months.
And
it gets more interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, we need to improve. Really. And when we look at it on a weekly average, that is what it is.
Well done, bro. So we see here, guys, as Gero mentioned, 114,152. Now, actually, that number is actually kind of small, right?
Yes.
So we're doing good so far. Average weekly contribution, 544. Because remember, the church shouldn't be the only place to go for help, right? But that's what people sadly start to do. Average weekly contribution, 544, 365 Naira exchange rate right there. So we'll see how that goes. Next slide. Now we're looking at quarter number two, April to June. Please, bro.
Yep.
Historical overview, 20 souls added this quarter. Amen.
Wow.
3 months, 20 souls.
That's awesome.
June, we added 9 disciples to our number.
That's awesome.
That's the way it should be, family.
Yeah.
If every Bible talk is doing it, we could easily, if we have 8 to 9 Bible talks, every Bible talk could baptize a month. Because you got men and women in the Bible talk, right? Dr. Skip and Elena McKean come to Lagos for our original workshop in April. We did not have our AMC. We focused more on saying, listen, because basically Patrick and I got back and said, listen, we're going to go into high gear. We've been here. We haven't been here for 3 months or 2 months, 2.5 months. We're going to get into high gear. And so we had our original workshop to really strengthen the church with Kip and Elena. Remember Ezekiel and Sam for James?
Yes.
They came from Uganda for training, which is encouraging. We had our first principal's graduation, of course, Valedictorian Tina. Right? First anniversary service, June 25th, 176 in attendance with 5 baptisms. Encouraging, amen. I'm trying to give you a historical overview so you understand what God has done this year. There at Mercy at Makoko, amen. Balaji Shinyere really helping to coordinate that. And of course, our average weekly attendance now has now zoomed up from 76 to all of a sudden 104. Okay, my brother.
All right. Now, we have our benevolence support, moving expenses, you know, which includes rent and all that, is 209,016 naira.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is not good at all. It's not good at all. That needs to improve. Now, when we look at the average weekly contribution at the price, which is at 365. Now we have 622.10 in dollars. And the post which gives us 227.
Yeah,
and
139. Amen. Now, what do you notice here? If you're starting to watch the numbers, what just happened? The benevolence has now doubled. Interesting. Why is that?
You have to give more.
Right? Are we giving more? Why? Now, help you understand something. Benevolence, we have a policy now. Because, you know, when I first got here, we were just ready to give and serve. What else you need? But then we have to realize, well, we have to have policies for all this stuff. So, you can't just roll up in here and say, hey, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Right? We're not here to take care of people's rent. Then we can't do that. You have a yearly rent. Unless, in an extreme circumstance or a rare circumstance, we need to help people move. We want to honor them with that move. That is a truly a great honor, and it's rare in the church. Very rare. But if people need money for food, if people need money for clothes, right? People need money, there's a serious healthcare issue. Absolutely, we're there. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
And so, what do? 10,000, we're trying to say, okay, you know what? We're going to allot 10,000. If a person comes to us, we'll give 10,000 that month if they need it. Now, why do we say that? Well, it has to be approved, right? You can't just roll up here and say, hey, give me this. Like one time people said, oh man, help, look at my budget, I need help. I can't give my contribution. Can you give me money?
What?
Do you want the church to give you benevolence so that you can give your contribution?
Wow.
Yeah. It's just, there needed to be a lot of teaching. A lot of teaching. But if you think about it, 10,000 naira a month in benevolence, you multiply that by all the people in the church. Can you imagine? So, 209,000 given over 3 months, when we're really only supposed to be giving 10,000 per person, in the case of a need, you need money for food, you need money for clothing, why is it that high? So people say, oh, it's small, is it? 209,000, is it more than what the church gives? The entire church gives on a Sunday. Some people don't even make that a month. Many people don't. Are you with me? So is that really a small number?
No.
Let's keep going. Next. It adds up. It adds up. All right, historical overview. Third quarter, July through September, 9 souls added for the Lord this month.
Nine souls for the Lord.
Bode, Tolu, Joshua, souls.
Come on, Joshua!
Ayumide, Lola De, Faye, Bobby, Galechi, blessing.
What's really encouraging
is that we started the first bachelor's class for ICC. We had a global leadership conference in Manila. Ariel was appointed our first woman. Lenny and Corey Bridge run to run for missions. Amen. Well done, Talani. He's like, I did not pay anything out of my salary. And of course, Dr. Tim and Leanne, Kern and Kane, the biz from LA. Amen. One of the things I'm trying to do is to bring in more guests here to Lagos.
That'd be awesome.
I'm trying to bring in, you know, guests to Lagos, maybe one every quarter or so. Now, that's sacrifice, guys. We don't have money to pay for their flights. So they now pay for their flight and we take care of their housing.
Oh, I see.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're going to see that later in the pie graph when we talk about the visitors. And when visitors come, we still have to help support them. We can't just say, you pay for your flight and now good luck. Right? Average weekly attendance has slipped.
Yeah.
It slipped.
Yep.
Now it's 93. What does that mean? Average week, how many people are in the church? Right? Say it was 70-something, right? Whatever. You mean only 23 more people were coming up? Are you with me here, family? Sunday church, Sunday service, we're here to try to help bring friends to church. When I'm preaching Acts 2:38, do you need to know that?
Come on.
You think I'm preaching Acts 2:38 for you?
Maybe you're weak and you need to be reminded. Okay, no problem. But Acts of 58 is for who? That's for the guests.
Amen, bro.
So if we're not bringing guests out, how will the church grow?
Let's keep looking here. Now we're going to hand it over for financial overview. My brother.
All right.
Come on.
Now we raised $2,104,150 in our 10 times bishop contribution. Our goal was to raise $2,137,750.
Amen. We surpassed it.
We surpassed our.
Amen.
Now, benevolent gift of 10,000 rand was given to our dear brother Nick Nguyen in South Africa.
Amen.
And of course, he was encouraged receiving that gift from us. And of course, him and his mother will be using that gift to support them to move to Johannesburg to be encouraged. Amen. Yeah. Now, our average weekly contribution was $559.
Dollars, that should be dollars.
Dollars, yeah, that should be in dollars. Of course, which translates to 195,000, 980 naira.
Mm-hmm.
That is not very good, but we need to really improve there. But total benevolent distributed over the quarter went up to 98,000.
Okay, so
841.
Exactly. So now, what's happened? It's reduced again.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? We have to. What happened last quarter? We're like, okay, why did it double? We need to follow up on this and find out why people are all. Because here's the thing: if more people are asking for benevolence, that means they need help with their finances.
Yes.
You see, you need to get help with your finances if your finances aren't doing well. You need to go to someone who's actually doing good in their finances, but don't keep doing the same thing expecting different results.
Yeah.
Right? The benevolence gift of 10,000 rand was huge because, again, that's one of those rare situations. Nick Nguyen was helping to oversee a remnant group in Cape Town. I guess you could call it Gordon's Bay area. But sadly, things didn't go well there, and so he was really weakened in his faith, and so he needed a lot of help. His mom thought at one point had cancer, so it was just a lot. So the decision was made with advice to now bring him to Johannesburg to strengthen the work there and for him to be strengthened. Mm-hmm. And he's arrived in Johannesburg with his mom as of this last week. Amen.
Amen.
Let us talk to God today. And so this is a guy. I mean, this guy was in served in different roles. Even in the SUC days, I mean, he's definitely one of the heroes in the faith there. So it was a privilege to be able to help our dear brother. Let's keep looking. All right, now we get to the last quarter. 12 souls added to the Lord. Of course, Mom Rosalie will preach from the London Church. Now, October was a month of atonement and call to commitment.
Yeah.
It really was the month of bloodshed. It was a month of bloodshed. We had to go through the church and really help to see who was really being a disciple and who isn't.
Mm-hmm.
We may still have a little cleaning up to do, but I think we got the most done. 2 Chronicles 16:9. What does that say? Who knows that scripture? For the eyes of the Lord, to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him, right? And so what's interesting about that? People always say, I'm weak. God made me strong. What does God say? Why don't you get committed first? Then I'll strengthen you. But I'm weak. Lord, help me. Why don't you come to church? Why don't you go to your discipling time? Why don't you stay committed? And then maybe God will strengthen you.
Come on.
See, people want the opposite. They want to be strengthened. And then once they're quote unquote strengthened, then now they'll decide to be committed. That's not how it works here, though. Bible Talk Leaders Mini Retreat in November at the Lackey Conservatory was nice. Little getaway for the to honor the Bible Talk Leaders. And that was something the church fronted because I personally wanted to make sure the Bible Talk Leaders were encouraged.
Wow.
These are people that have jobs, like a Talon, like other brothers and sisters that have jobs and yet are making the time to lead a Bible Talk.
Mm-hmm.
That's encouraging right there, amen? I wanted to honor them for that heart.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, we traveled to Washington, D.C. to oversee the leadership transition there, incorporate 4 U.S. states and D.C. into our Africanus World Sector. Amen. Very encouraging. Tony Adamo celebrated his 30th spiritual birthday in the Lord. Amen. But still, a lot of work here is needed to be done. So you see what we're doing here. We're doing a review of the year, and it's also helping to see, okay, so where's it really been? Right? Let's go into the financial.
Right. Average weekly contribution, $1,046. And of course, at the price of $366, increased due to 10 times mission contribution.
And you notice that right there, right? It's not like, oh my gosh, everyone just jumped up their contra over $166,000. No. Because we get our 10 times missions, raised $2.1 million. When you do the average now, it's increased. You get what I'm saying? But if we didn't do that, we wouldn't have the money to keep going on. Yeah.
Now, total benevolence distributed over the quarter was at $122,674,000.
Wow.
Now, throughout each quarter, there has been a corresponding increase in membership. However, contribution is not proportional. That means we are growing, but our contribution is not growing. And you know, like in a family, when parents keep having children,
come on, bro.
But we don't have money to take care of them. What happens? Someone will die of starvation.
So
as we are growing, our contribution should be proportional to our growth.
Yes, that's right.
And for that to happen, that means we have to encourage ourselves to do what? Give more. Amen?
Amen.
Approximately 17 members of the church gave more than 1,000 a week. Wow. The rest of the church, about 78%, gave less, just below 1,000. So what does that mean? That means about 17 people out of the whole percentage in this church give more than 1,000 on a weekly basis.
So I appreciate this. You see this here. If you understand what this is saying, right? 17 members give 85% of what the church receives.
Yeah.
Let me say that again. Okay? Now that includes some married people. So maybe you include the women with that, you bump it up to maybe 23. Fair enough. 23 people give 85% of what the church gives. See, this is why numbers matter. Because if you don't know what the numbers are, you think, amen, someone else will take care of it. And see, guys, I understand, as a church planter, I've done this now quite a few times. To really build a strong foundation, everyone's got to be committed. And it's not about the amount. But if everyone's committed, we can do this together. But we also have to be willing to go after the people that are prominent. You have to be willing to go out with the people, because you know what? The rich need to be saved too. And I think if you're afraid to talk to people who are wealthy, if you're afraid to talk to people who have resources, then you're stopping what God can do here in Lagos. I purposely go to prominent people. I purposely go after those who are wealthy. Why? Because they need to be saved too. Do not be intimidated by anyone.
That's right.
The car, the clothes, what is that? They go to the bathroom just like you.
Yeah.
Next slide.
Right. This is the summary of our income. Now, this is all the monies that we receive. Now, when you look at the pie chart, 26% of the money that we receive comes from the Lagos Church. Right? But the big chunk of it, as we can see here, 71%, comes from movement abroad.
Wow.
You see that? That means we are not self-supporting.
Yes.
We are not self-supporting at all. And not just that, so when we look at, of course, the benevolence that we give, it's just, you can't even see it.
I can comment on that. Now, you know, we talked about how we've been giving, you know, 100,000, 200,000, 90,000, right? Okay. Now, you're going to see in just a bit, right? It's interesting. If people come to you and say, oh, okay, I need benevolence. Where does that money come from? It's supposed to come from the money we give to benevolence.
Yep.
But guess what happens?
It comes now from the contribution.
So when you don't give your benevolence, and now other people say, I need benevolence now, what must we do? If it is a valid benevolence claim in before God, we will serve. But now we have to go into the red to be able to take care of our brothers and sisters.
Wow.
So think about that when you don't give benevolence. Or when you don't give benevolence sacrificially. But then you come and ask for benevolence.
Come on, bro.
Key thing to notice here too. As you can see, the movement support is huge. The next slide is going to go into our expenses, which are incredible, obviously a lot more delineated. And you're going to see how much is spent on these expenses. My brother.
Right. Now, this is the expense sheet. Now, the total expense for last year was 42,565,001
dollar. Now,
couple. Right? Now, when we look at it, look at how it's being presented there. The chunk of, an average of 20% goes to Virgin Rose. And where is Virgin Rose?
Yes.
Here that we need. So that means 20% of our expenses went to securing this place that we stay for worship, midweek, and all the rest of the things. Now, we look at Unilag transport. Now, Unilag transport takes about 12% of the total income. That is to say, the transportation will pay on a monthly basis.
Campus, you hear this?
Campus students. So for the campus, you see that this is like very significant in our expense here. So don't let the boss come empty.
Yay! Yay!
Now we look at, we have immigration there. Of course, we had to settle all our missionaries so that they can be studied here.
Come on, missionaries.
That 9% of, sorry, 6% of the total income went to that.
Mm.
Of course, reimbursement. When you spend, maybe buy something for the church.
Yeah.
Of course, not just buying anything.
Right.
Yeah, you know, like the communion wine and some batteries for the mic and all that. You get reimbursed for that. Now, we see our benevolence. I'm missing out the colors a bit. Now, we can see about 2% of the money went into benevolence here. The MC ministry and all that. But the very significant one here is, of course, we had to take care of the household of our missionaries. And of course, others that moved, like our dear brother Paul that moved from Abuja, and of course, my friend that moved from here.
Mm-hmm.
That huge chunk you see here took care of their accommodation, right? Now we see flights here for the GOC, which of course is significant too.
The rest.
And of course we see food and refreshment. Each time we meet for the Wednesdays, for family fun night, and all that. When we eat, it has been paid for. Amen. And of course, also taking care of our visitors. Like when we have people come from abroad to visit us, just like Andrew said, they pay their flight to come here. Sometimes we pay their hotels, and of course, help them with some money to take care of other needs. Yeah.
Awesome, brother. So, just a review, I mean, you see the major expense, obviously, is households, right? Who here lives in one of the church households that the church has paid for? Okay, yeah. So, you know, the key thing here is understanding. No, you don't need to. That's not necessary. I'm just helping you understand. When a brother or sister, right, and again, We've taken care of a couple couples because we want to honor them, right? For their sacrifice to be willing to move. Of course, we can't keep doing it, right? Now, key thing here to understand is that that's 46, almost 50% of all expenses is for housing. Can you imagine? Almost 50%. But it's important. Because here in Nigeria, guess what? You have to pay for what? The year. Bang. Are you with me? It's not like everywhere else where you can pay month by month by month. You got to pay for the year. Which means that when I have to now negotiate with the admin staff, with the movement, and say, hey guys, like we pretty much set up the 2018 budget for the year. They're now trying to figure out, okay, how much do they give admissions? How much are they able to give, you know, January, February, March, April, May, so that by June, when it's time to pay for the houses, we're ready. All that takes planning. Because they can't just give you a chunk at one time because they don't have it. They have to raise the money to do it. And so for us, living in households that the church has paid for, are you grateful?
Yes.
I want to let us understand something. One thing to understand is that we have to discern who lives in these households.
Amen.
Because if you're going to live in a church household where the money, the church is paying money for you to live there, you got to do well spiritually.
Right.
I had to sit down with the brother's house and say, guys, listen, this is not a free ride. The church is not a social work. This is not a, you know, no, that's not what this is. If you're going to do well spiritually, amen. But if you're going to play around, sorry, you need to go. And trust me, I will be there to kick you out. Because you will not, no, I'm serious.
Come on, bro.
I'm serious. We will not use the church's money and disrespect God's money.
That's right.
And do vile things. Are you with me here, family?
Yeah.
And so, Brother Sassel is good, amen. You guys are awesome.
Come on,
but I'm saying that. I say, Sister Sassel, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we want, God willing, this year to increase the amount of households we're able to help. Are you with me here? We want to do more. But, again, all this goes back to contribution. Because, as you saw in the last slide, go back to the last slide. This number right here. This number right here is not always a given. I have to fight for that number.
Come on. We appreciate it, bro.
I'm just trying to help you understand. The number this year, it got increased by, I forget how much, I won't go into all the details, but long story short, we got an increase in our budget for this year.
Amen.
And so from that, God willing, we'll be able to do more. But don't forget, we're also not just focused on Lagos, we're focused on the entire African continent.
Yeah,
so when money comes in, I have to now think about all the churches. But of course, Lagos is the priority. Let's go. Next slide.
Come on.
Come on, bro.
Actually, it is. First of all, let's
say
that
it
is justice.
Amen. Come on, bro. We're with you. Should I read it? You got it, brother. It says, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4. When you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you to sin. Do not protest to the temple messenger, my vow was a mistake. Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands? Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, stand in awe of God.
You see here, it's very challenging when we have pledges and people don't keep them.
Oh, talk about it, bro.
That means we have to keep adjusting and readjusting just to make sure that things fit. But, you know, it's very disappointing. None of us want to be disappointed when somebody gives us a pledge, like I'll give you this amount, talk of doing it to God. You know, if we give God a pledge, we should keep to that pledge.
Amen.
Because if you don't keep to the pledge, what happens?
It's stabilized.
Exactly.
Everything.
Can I comment on that, bro? One thing to comment on this, Very, very important. There's a reason why we ask everyone to write their names on the envelope. Mm-hmm. Why?
Accountability.
What is the purpose budgeting. Of the accountability?
Budgeting?
Of course, budgeting. Because if we don't know who's actually giving the money, we don't know whether it's you or whether it's a visitor.
Yeah.
So how can we budget properly?
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, the Bible says in Mark that Jesus watched people give their money into the different places. So there's biblical reference for accountability. And just to help you understand, everything in regards to the money here is confidential. The only people that see everything is Tina, Good Hope, and me. That's it.
Come on.
Bible Talk leaders only see the people in their Bible Talk. And we caution them that if they ever mention anything about someone's, because they're trusted in leadership, amen. If it's written on the email that is sent in accountability reports. If they talk about other people's contribution with someone else, they'll be removed as a Bible Talk leader.
Right.
There is accountability in the church. We're taking pains to do what is right in the eyes of God and also with men. So if you have a pledge amount, please contact your Bible Talk leader. Like, say, for example, your pledge needs to change because you've gotten an increase in your job, right? Or you've gotten a decrease. No problem. No problem. I have no problem. Good old Tina. We don't have any problem if someone seriously has to change a contribution. Mm-hmm. But get advice from your Bible Talk leader. You with me?
Bible Talk leader.
Get advice from your Bible Talk leader. Tell them and then send a message. Once you're talking about Bible leader, send a message to Tina so we can update it. Because what's happening is that people just decide to change their pledge. And then we don't know. And we're like, we'll see, like, okay, like if a contribution is meeting its goal, it's like, okay, fine. If it's above its goal, let's say green. If it's below its goal, it's a, you know, yellow. And if there's no contribution whatsoever, red. Okay, problem. Right? The issue here is if you decrease your contribution, let us know. Otherwise, it takes us now more time to figure this out. All right.
Now, our average monthly contribution is 801,667 naira. But the money that we need in order to reduce the high percentage of rent that we pay here is about 1 million. About 1 million naira. Now, I know we are all very familiar with Malachi 3.
Amen.
You know, in the house of God, we should lack food. We shouldn't lack anything. There should be surplus in the house of God. Amen? So, for that to happen, what do we have to do?
Increase our contribution.
We have to increase our contribution.
Amen. You know, if you notice, you're going to see that when we get to, if you go back to the other slide, if you'll notice, go back here, bro. Okay, here we go. We had a little bit of carryover from 2016. If we didn't have carryover from 2016, we'd actually be running in the red. About 200,000 now. Not necessarily too much. It's a one-timer for a Sunday. But if we didn't have that carryover, and because we budgeted properly, we'd be running in the red with all the expenses we have. You get what I'm saying? And so we don't want to have to do that. If you go back here, key thing is that 200,000 that I'm talking about is the gap.
Yeah.
It's the gap. To put it in perspective, when we were negotiating this place, the first thing the manager said when we sat down is to get this place is 1 million naira for each Sunday.
Yeah.
To get this place. This is VI. I mean, people have their weddings here. And guess what? That is what they pay. We had to seriously sit down and negotiate with them. Good Hope did a great job. And now, instead of paying 1 million for just this room for one Sunday, we pay 720,000 for Sunday, Wednesday, Saturdays, for the entire month. Are you with me here? That is God in the book. So we want to increase our contribution, and we want to increase our contribution for one of the visionary goals that we have. We're going to be talking about in just a little bit.
Now, We have to be responsible the way we give. We have to show the level of some level of responsibility in the way we give, so that we can be able to do what? Take care of the need
Amen.
Of these members of present events. And of course, we know what Matthew 27 is talking about. Now, very importantly, we have our love offering coming up in May 2018. And that is to support the operating expense of the church. Right? And what would that do? That will help us to, anywhere there is deficit, with this amount here, we'll be able to cover it up. Because if we don't have such fund set aside to cover up deficits, we just woke up one morning
and
we don't know what
you're doing. It's true. If you go back to the other pie graph of the expenses, bro. For example, if you take a look here, the other key expense, 9% is what?
AMC.
AMC anniversary. With every AMC we have, we're flying all the African leaders here to Lagos. That is on us. You get what I'm saying? That is on us. Why? Because Nigeria is rich. You laugh until you go to Sierra Leone. You laugh until you go to Congo. You laugh. See, if we don't help those guys don't get here. You laugh until you look at Uganda. I mean, those guys came from Uganda like, Lagos, wow, I've never been here. This is like awesome. You see, when you get used to something, you start to get ungrateful for it.
That's right.
But I'm trying to help you understand. Like, these are a lot of expenses we got to take care of. And the AMC is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's going to be awesome, amen?
Amen.
But where is that finances going to come from, right? We want to be able to for the time being at Virgin Rose, obviously, the housing stuff, it's, if we don't do our part, if you go back to the income, bro. Sorry, go to the income. If we don't do our part here, this doesn't change. Once this is given, good luck with the year, friends.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Once this is given, it's given. If this now changes, problem. And so, that's why we got to make sure a fourth of our budget is based on what we do. So we got to make sure we look out for it. Amen?
Amen.
Thanks. Awesome. Now, let's talk about the vision. Let's talk about why we're collecting all this money and the things we want to do moving forward in 2018.
Amen.
Obviously, we know Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. Isaiah 32:8, but the noble man makes noble plans, and by noble deeds, he stands. Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. We're putting all this before the Lord, amen?
Amen.
And my prayer is that you will put it before the Lord, and that you'll take this time to really think through this. Some of the goals putting forward here, number one, we got to continue to build a church of sold-out disciples in Lagos, amen?
Amen.
And when I say sold-out disciples, I don't mean people who are just here, but not really here.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think we call it sold out? Do you think that's just because we're like Americans with funny terms?
No.
Take a look at Matthew chapter 13. You know the name of our church in Nigeria is actually registered as Sold Out International Christian Ministries? Sold Out International, sorry, Sold Out International Christian Church. Not ministries, church. So we're sick. We're just that. Okay. Sold Out International Christian Church. But why? Why are we part of this sold out movement? I'm glad you asked. Take a look at Matthew 13. What does the Bible say here? You know, we read something like that and we think, oh yeah, sure. We all have to be disciples, but are we sold out? Matthew 13. The Bible reads here in verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. Then his joy went and sold all he had and bought that. He was sold out. Again, The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and what? Sold everything he had and bought it. You know, I do appreciate the Eddings and also the Addison seniors who gave up everything to be able to move to Lagos. Amen? And, you know, it's a lot easier to live in Abuja. It is. I'm sure from Waya, where Auntie Felicia's mom was more comfortable. But they decided to sell everything to come to be a part of the kingdom of God here in Lagos. And I honor them for that. But guys, we got to all ask ourselves, do we all have the same sold out heart? Because when the time comes for mission teams, it's going to be your turn. I've done it already. I've already done it. I don't know how many times I've done it now, but I've done it. Selling everything you got, going to a place you don't even know where you're going to go. All right, let's go. Ride or die, let's go. Right? The time will come for you as well. But the issue is, are we truly, do we have a sold out heart? You may not have sold everything for the kingdom, but would you? Two, pray that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and bring honor to God by doubling our number by our second anniversary. Yeah. I talked about this, guys. In 6 months, our anniversary service is June, 26th now, right? By the end of June, that we're going to try to help every, by the prayer of God, we're going to help every disciple to be fruitful.
Amen.
Every disciple to reproduce themselves. Guys, think about it. I think I was talking to Tina. Apparently, we're not 75, we're actually 77. I forgot to. Apparently, I must have forgotten to include myself and Patrice, but amen. I thought I did, but amen.
Amen.
Thank you for this, Madam Secretary. 77, what does that mean? By June, what will we have?
152.
No, 142, 154, excuse me. By June, we'll have 154. Do you believe that?
Yes.
But here's the thing, though. Everyone's got to stay sold out and not fall away.
Yes.
So that we can double our money. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Guys, we could literally explode like this. The only thing that stops us is our mouth and our faith.
Yeah, that's true.
And you know, usually what happens is we're too busy, right? And you know what busy stands for? Being under Satan's yoke.
Yes.
2018, the prayer is to raise up an evangelist in training and an eventually in a training couple by our AMC. That is my role, family. You know, it's like what Paul said, the goal is to raise up future evangelists. I can baptize, we've been baptizing people. That's not the issue. I gotta raise up leaders. Are you with me here? That is the prayer. Next. Appoint 3 deacon in training couples.
Yay.
For worship, those ministry, mercy worldwide. We got to raise up some deacons. Bible says that's supposed to happen. Now, we said deacon in training because we got to make sure they're actually, you know, follow the scriptures. Because once you appoint deacons, it's, you got to make sure they're solid. Right? To serve the needs of the congregation and the poor in our area. Next slide. Prayers to establish a mainland and island region. Now, honestly, guys, I'm telling you right now. I told you about this on Sunday.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. This will be dependent on your faith.
Amen.
Whether this happens is going to be dependent on your faith. Because if we're going to take care of one place, now what's going to happen? Now we got to take care of what? Two. Now, prayerfully, if we're shrewd, we'll try to find places that are cheaper than this. Amen.
Amen.
But, you know, and what's the goal? By splitting, now all that transport that's stopping people from not coming, because, the transport, too much. Now, because they can go somewhere closer, right, our attendances now will increase. You get my point?
Yeah.
So, it's an opportunity to raise up future leadership. It's an opportunity to raise up attendance. All this is strategic in building God's church here. Yes. To do that, in order to do it, we got to raise up new Bible Talk leaders.
We
got to raise up some new Bible Talk leaders. But you see, here's the thing. To be a Bible Talk leader, it's a sacrificial life.
Right.
I'm sorry. Hang on a second. to be a Bible talk leader is a sacrificial life. We talked about that at the beginning, didn't I?
Yeah.
Didn't I?
Yeah.
Because, you know, a disciple who's not a Bible talk leader, they don't have to worry about preparing a Bible talk lesson. They don't have to worry about the Bible talk and who's in it and how they're doing, people going on dates, people giving their contribution, people doing well spiritually, are they happy, are they faithful? They're not thinking about that. And they should, prayerfully, the disciples. But a Bible talk leader's responsibility is that when they could be doing something else. Sacrificial living. For the sake of the kingdom. Pray that God open the floodgates of heaven as we continue to sacrifice for the work of the Lagos Church and benevolence. You know, I really want us to find a project that we can do for Mercy Worldwide. That'll not just be a one and done type of thing. Yeah, okay, we know, it's awesome. We need to take care of the orphans, we need to take care of the poor, but we need to figure out a program where we can start getting funding from Lagos. Getting funding from the government. Because the key thing about Mercy Worldwide, family, is that we don't have a lot of money, but we have committed volunteers.
Right.
Yeah. Are you with me?
Yeah.
We have committed volunteers, and that's what the world doesn't have. Every time we used to do blood drives in the U.S., the Red Cross would be like, okay, how many people are coming? You know, and then the church in the U.S., was in New York, were like, well, we have 120 in our church, so we'll have 100 there at least. He's like, come on, man, get out of here. Get out of here. Most churches, they have 120, they'll have 20 people there. I was like, we're disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're gonna, if I say we're going to have 100 there, we're going to have 100 there.
Amen.
We had 115 there. They were overloaded. They didn't know what to do. They were calling people in. Hey, can you come in and help? Come help take the blood. I looked at her like this. I told you. When we're committed, we come. We say we're going to do something, we do it. But that's not the way the world thinks.
No.
Church, can you come please to give some blood if you have time, if you're not too busy? I know, it's so hard. What is that? Seek first the kingdom or seek first the world. It's just that simple. But I am praying because, as I said, you know, May 2018, praying for our love offering, guys. I mentioned this contribution there. To support the planting and support the work to win all of Africa, guys. We want to be able to train and have more leaders from across Africa come here to train so we can send them out. We need to raise up more interns. We need to raise up people to be able to do greater things. Thanks, bro. So how do we do all this? It's going to take faith, it's going to take financial planning, and it's going to take personal sacrifice. Amen? We got a dream, guys. We got a dream for the evangelization of all of Africa to raise funds to support our ministry staff, or else they and the church will be muzzled. Like the scripture I read to you before, 1 Corinthians 9. We don't want to muzzle the work here. We want to help it to excel. Amen?
Yes.
And that is the financial presentation. Romans 13, verse 8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Let's make sure we have no debt. I also want to welcome dear brother Joshua Jai.
Come on, bro.
And, you know, we came together here to have the vision of this Africanus, and he did a great job. If you notice, the red, the black, and the green, black, and red represent obviously all the African churches.
Yeah.
Represents all of Africa. Lion is the Lion of Judah, which is Jesus. And of course, it's shaped in the shape of Africa.
Come on, Africa.
You catch that, right?
I missed it.
Yeah, you missed it. You missed it. It's shaped in the shape of Africa right there. There's the horn. Right? And so then you have, of course, it's that Africanus world sector, which is just Latin for Africa. What's really interesting is that it's Africa and U.S. Because the U.S. is now also included in the Africa world sector. So now, these two lines right here with the three dots, that is actually the state flag for Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is the key pillar church there in the U.S. that will help to also win that area. And of course, the Jerusalem cross, you understand what that means, right? It's a cross.
with four little crosses. The cross represents, obviously, the big one represents the cross of Christ, and the four little ones represent the four gospels going to the four corners of the earth. It's the same thing on my ring. So essentially, that the Jerusalem cross means world evangelism.
Awesome.
So, that is our Africanus World Sector logo right there. So, thank you for your humble attention. I hope it didn't go over your head. If there's any questions you have, please at this time, my brother Godot, come on up. Any questions you have at this time, please feel free to share. I saw Tina and then Balaji.
So,
Tina, aren't you supposed to be taking questions?
I want to help.
Amen. Ah, yes, no problem. Let's go back, bro. So, love offering, actually go back further. Oh, right there. 2.1. Now, what does that mean? 2.1 is essentially what we collected last time. 10 times of our weekly giving. But here's the thing, though. We want to make sure we get our weekly contribution to at least 210,000. Because right now, it's been going back and forth. Sometimes it's 183, sometimes it's 190, sometimes it's 2, sometimes it's 180. Sometimes it's like this, you can't set a budget if that 26% that I told you keeps what? Going like this. So that's why we gotta make our vow and stick to it. And the other thing is understanding that, so it's a 10 times to answer the question. The other thing that I'm saying is, when you don't give your contribution, I want to encourage you, I don't know how many times we've talked about this, but again, I'll remind you. The Bible says, do not come before the Lord empty-handed, amen? Mm-hmm. If you have 10 naira in your pocket, and it's the last 10 naira you got, to God be the glory. Yeah. You will not be judged here. This is not about the money, it's always about the heart.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you have to ask yourself, what do you do with your finances? And so one of the things we're going to do this year too, I'm going to give all the Bible Talk leaders essentially a contribution sheet to help with your finances and determining your contribution. So it'll help you developing a budget. It'll help you see exactly what your contribution should be so you can get help us. What should I be giving? Because you don't want to be emotional like, I want to give everything! And then you can't pay this. No. The goal here, you want to do in accordance with your income. Amen?
Amen.
But you want to get understanding. There was one point, guys, where I was running short of my contribution when I was in the U.S. because we had an emergency that came up with a car, emergency that came up with some kind of extreme medical situation in the family. And I remember I went to the store and I straight up returned bottles to get money.
Aww.
Like, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no shame in my game. I'm straight up there sharing my faith. I'm putting in bottles to get money.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say, I don't need money, I'm like, did you just drink that Eva can? Or Eva can, whatever they call it. Right? You can go to places to get money for recycling. I see people going to get recyclables all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's how creative we are. Right? So I hope that answered the question.
Yeah.
Yes, Balaji.
I was going to ask that for proper budgeting, that wouldn't it be nice for us to always get pledge every year? So that, I mean, like the beginning of the year, we get the new pledge. So, as in generally, so as to know if there are increase or people who don't understand that now they understand, they can now give more or stuff like that.
Yes, the issue is that, thank you. The issue is we're going to have a pledge drive. So part of the winter workshop is we're going to have deep convictions about finances. And there, we're going to be handing out stuff, and we're going to take the month of January to help everyone really give sacrificially. And so I believe by the end of January, we'll have the proper pledge amount, and we'll know exactly what the church can do. Make sense? Any other questions? Don't be shy. If you didn't understand anything, feel free. We just want to make sure everything's open for you to understand. Amen. Guys, thank you all very much. Let's close out here with some prayer. And you'll be dismissed for the night.
Father God, thank you. Thank you for the privilege of being part of your kingdom. God, truly like the pearl of a man who is seeking or just stumbling upon it, rather. God, I pray that we have the heart to truly be sold out for you. That, God, there is nothing that is going to have eternal significance like your kingdom. Father, we fall short in so many ways. God, I think about all my sin, God. I think of the ways I fall short. God, help me to be a humble man. God, help me to be a man that just honors you and stays faithful, courageous man. God, for all of us, help us to be humble. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be courageous this year. As we put our goals before you, God, I pray that our will is like clay. And that, God, all the different goals you put before you, God, take them. If it is your will, God, please, may it be done. If it's not your will, also make it clear. God, I pray that if there's anything here that we need to add, we will add. If there's anything that we need to take off, we'll take off. God, our will is your will. We just put all our plans before you, Father. And I just pray for every single disciple. I pray for the disciples that are not here tonight. Because that in and of itself shows the level of commitment, God. I pray for them. And I pray, God, that you'll strengthen them. And that you'll help them to become fully committed. But God, I know it's not going to happen by us waiting for it. We've got to decide to be committed. And then you will strengthen us. And so, Father, I pray for those who are weak. God, please strengthen them. I pray for all the Bible Talk leaders, God, to really wrap their arms around their Bible Talks. To really strengthen each and every disciple. God, I pray for all the disciples who have just been baptized, God, to make sure they finish the follow-up studies so they can be strengthened in the faith, God. I just pray that we'll love each other enough to disciple each other. I pray that we won't be gun-shy. I pray that we'll say what needs to be said. I pray that we'll repent where we need to repent. I pray that we'll be courageous and get friends out to church, God. God, Father, I didn't travel 7,000 miles just to sing some Nigerian songs, although they're pretty awesome. I didn't travel almost 8,000 miles just to eat some egusi soup and have some jollof rice. God, I gave up everything and I'll do it again, Father, because I want to see more souls say, Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
I want to build a church here that will honor you, God. Honor you in a world that's full of false religion, false doctrine of prosperity religion. God, so many false doctrines out that are leading people astray. God, I pray that you will use us like you use Olu and Joshua and Brother Tony to be able to be a light in the face of persecution. That God will decide this year, this week, to be able to open our mouths and stop being faithless. To open our mouths and believe that the people we're around, you specifically put us in places. It is your will for us to be at our jobs. It is your will for us to be at our campuses so that we can meet those people that will come to know you. God, I pray for the gentleman I met today, Neem. God, I pray that, Father, as we train in boxing together, I also train him to be a disciple. God, I pray that he'll become a disciple. And that from him, more men and women at his oil and gas company will become disciples. And that, God, they will contribute to the work here so that more can come to a knowledge of the truth and so be saved. God, I pray that we reach out to more prominent people and not be afraid to reach out to our supervisors and MDs and build relationships and be an example in our jobs that inspires them to want to know us. God, I pray that we will not be like weeds bending in the air that just take anything from the barrels that are leading us, God, or at our jobs. But rather, God, will call people to the standard and call them to say, listen, this is my religious commitment. If you call yourself a Christian, let's honor this together. Please, I beg you. God, help us to have the faith to believe that our jobs will let us do what we must do for you. God, so often we just give in. We give in. I pray we have the faith of Muslims who are willing to say, no, I have this whatever holiday, and that's what it is. God, I know for me, even in the U.S., I saw people that, you know, even the employers, they'll be willing to let Muslims go because they had more conviction than the Christians. They thought the Christians would just do whatever they tell them to do, but the Muslims would stand up for what they had to do. God, I pray we have more conviction. I pray we have more faith. God, without faith, it's impossible to please you.
Yes.
Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It is what the ancients were commended for. God, like my quiet time today in Hebrews 11, I pray that, Father, we'll have the faith to obey.
Amen.
We'll have the faith to give up everything. We'll have the faith to be able to trust in your leadership. God, I pray that you give Patrick and I the wisdom and the discernment. I pray for all the Bible Talk leaders, God. Give them the wisdom and the discernment
Amen.
To lead your people to even greater things in 2018.
Amen.
God, the old is gone. The new has come. For those of us who had a great year, God, help us to be humble and do even greater things.
Yes.
For those of us who had a poor year, help us to trust and know your grace and know that, God, even at our weakest point, it's when we are weak that we are strong, if we rely on you. And for those of us, God, who've just been kind of mediocre and haven't really been walking by faith, but just going with ritual, God, I pray that we can truly take a step up. That we can take away the fear and we can push ourselves. That we can do something that scares us just a little bit every day. Father, I just want to say thank you for this church. I thank you for each and every soul in it. God, I know Retreat. God, I also sense our love and gratitude for the church here tonight. God, I thank you so much for my dear brother Good Hope and dear sister Tina and just the tireless work they do. I just pray that we make their work a joy. And not a burden.
Amen.
I pray that we can all be more consistent in our giving.
Amen.
And that, God, when we think about what we give for benevolence, God, help us to put more in than we ask for. Father, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he truly left heaven. He left heaven, God, to save us. God, as we think about having a sacrificial life, help us to always keep our Savior in mind. God, I can't imagine what it must have been like to live in the first century. Nepa? Food? Clothing? Air conditioning? Generators? Refrigerators? But yet, Father, you decided to come at a time where none of those things were there. You could have came later. You could have decided to come at a time when it would have been more convenient, more comfortable. But yet, Father, you showed us the example of what it means to be a true Christian. And so, God, I just pray for all of us here today. For those who are struggling, God, strengthen them. God, for those who are in situations financially that are challenging, God, please open the door for them to be relieved, God. For those who have and been given more, help them to be sacrificial to those who don't. God, I just pray that Father would honor you through our lives. We love you. We dedicate 2018 to you. And we pray for all the guests joining us tonight, God, that they will study the Bible and get united so we can go and win this incredible city for you. God, we bless your name. We pray for Nigeria. We pray for Lagos. We pray for all the authorities that are here. Please, God, bless this great nation. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, family. You're dismissed.
Any brothers that, or sisters that want some deodorant, feel free to come and see me. Oh, sorry, it's just for the brothers. A hand, excuse me.
This was right. Apparently this was just a gift for the brothers. I'm sure the sisters smoke it anyway, so you don't need it. Hey. Oh, there are some of the sisters too. Thank God. So brothers, feel free to help yourself. Make sure you